Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
Last weekend, Pastor Rob preached on the love of God, and I thought it was so good that I wanted to piggyback on that and continue to explore the love of God this weekend. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 2, and the passage we're going to be looking at, the conjunctions lead the way. So I want you to take a look at the whole passage here. You don't need to read the whole passage on the screen, but I want you to see there are four main conjunctions, and they connect four big thoughts, and this passage builds in its enthusiasm to a crescendo, and so the conjunctions are going to lead the way, but you are going to play a part, and so here's what we're going to do. Every time I get to one of these four main conjunctions, I'm going to point to you when I say the word, and then you, with your outside enthusiastic voice, are going to say, not only that, but remember, this builds with enthusiasm. So the first time it's going to be, not only that, and the second time a little louder, not only that, not only that, not only that. You ready to practice? Here we go. And.
Not only that.
But.
Not only that.
And.
And.
Awesome. If you can be that great all the way through, we will do fantastic. So now, I'm going to say the word and a lot in this message. It's only when I point at you that you need to say. Do you know what comes before Ephesians chapter 2? Yeah, Ephesians chapter 1. Good morning. Yeah. In Ephesians chapter 1, let me summarize it for you. In Ephesians chapter 1, it describes for us that God is up to something really big. It talks about all of these really lofty thoughts that Jesus Christ has been given all authority on heaven and on earth, that he is over every ruler and power and leader and authority both in this world and the world to come. It talks about the fact that God from the beginning of time has had this plan. That he is reconciling everything to himself, everything in heaven, everything on earth. He's fixing everything that was broken, and all of this is bringing great glory to his name, and all of it is motivated by his love. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, it's telling us that God is up to something big. And then you get to Ephesians chapter 2. God is up to something big.
Not only that.
When I was going into fifth grade, I tried out for our city's select soccer team. And up to that point, we played with a size 4 soccer ball. This is a size 4 soccer ball right here. When we got the list for equipment to bring to the select team tryouts, it listed a size 5 soccer ball. And I did not realize that this was the point where we'd be moving up in the size. And this is a size 5 soccer ball. It's not a huge difference, but there's a difference in the size of these two. And I was really nervous about, I didn't know if I could play soccer with a size 5 soccer ball, to be honest. I was going into fifth grade, and I was intimidated. This ball is bigger, this ball is heavier, and I had never played with one. And now all of a sudden, I'm trying out to make the select team with a ball that I've never played with before. And I was super nervous about this size 5 soccer ball. And this is back in the day before websites and everything being posted online, right? And so when you try it out for a band or a play or a sports team, you didn't go online to see the list, and you know what you had to do? This is brutal. You had to sit at home, and you had to wait for the phone to ring. Man, so the coach said, on this evening, I'll call everybody that tried out and let you know if you made the team or not. And you're just sitting at home, and you've got like this anxiety, like, was I good enough to be accepted? Or am I going to get to the dreaded phone call that says, you weren't good enough? And so the phone rings, and it's the coach of the team, and he says, Eric, we've decided that we'd like for you to join the team. I'm like, oh, the joy of that, the joy of being accepted, the joy of not being rejected, right? And after a few weeks of being on that team, I realized something. I wasn't the only one that was nervous about playing with this size 5 soccer ball. I also wasn't the only one with a desire to belong. I wasn't the only one that wondered if I was good enough to be accepted. I wasn't the only one that wondered if I had anything worthwhile to contribute. And I certainly wasn't the only one fearing the possible rejection. Can I tell you something today? You're not the only one. You're not the only one that wonders how good is good enough. You're not the only one that wonders if you have anything worthwhile to contribute to God's church. You're not the only one sitting here today that even find yourself surprised that you're interested in the things of God. You're not the only one that wonders if anybody can relate to your pain in your past. You're not the only one that's believed the lie that nobody struggles the way I do. You're not the only one. We all have way more in common than many of us have ever dared to believe. And what Ephesians chapter 2 does is it takes all of these things that we have in common and it wraps it all up in God's love. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, it's telling us that God is up to something big in human history. It's been going on before you got here. It will be going on after your life is done on this earth. God is reconciling all things to himself on heaven and on earth. He is doing something throughout human history. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. God is up to something big, and man, those verses right there are a mouthful. What is this saying? God is up to something big, and here you are. Separated from all of it. What were we doing? God is up to something big. So there's these purposes of God, the things of God, the way God intends things to be. And we did not all pop out of the womb interested in the things of God, loving God, asking the question, what is God doing and how can I be a part and how does that affect my life? No. We all were born into this world, and what did we do? We just did what we thought we ought to do. We just, what this these verses say is, we just followed the course of the world. We just kind of did whatever we thought we ought to be doing. So we were just living our lives. Some of us, maybe with like this antagonism towards God, or a very intentional rebellion against God, but for probably the majority of us, we weren't even thinking about God. We were just living our lives. We weren't thinking about the purposes of God or the things of God. What were we doing? We were just going along with the course of the world, which these verses tell us is not neutral. When it talks about the spirit that's at work in this world, the prince of the power of the air, and the sons of disobedience, in a nutshell, what it's describing is the way that this world functions is in a lot of ways antagonistic towards the things of God. That the way, if you just kind of go along with the way the world works, you are by definition living your life in a way that is contrary to the way God designed your life to be lived. And we weren't thinking much of it. We weren't thinking about God at all, really. What were we doing? We were doing whatever we thought we ought to be doing, right? I mean, that's just the way you live your life. What should I be doing? We were never asking the question, what does God think I should be doing? Many of us, we were doing what we thought was good. We weren't asking the question, God, what do you say is good? Many of us were going along the course of our lives, trying to build a career for ourselves, or trying to be successful, or trying to do what we thought we wanted to do, following what this verse says, just following our mind and our desires of our flesh. What's the point here? The point is that we were doing whatever we thought we ought to be doing, and not caring one bit about what God thinks about any of it. Completely separated from the purposes of God. God is up to something big. And we all have this in common, we were all separated from it, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. What is this saying? You're out here separated from the things of God, not really thinking about the things of God. You were just doing your own thing. And in so doing, separated from God. And God invited you in. You have been invited. It wasn't that we were all living our lives like kind of like looking at this big thing that God is doing in human history and saying, hey, how can I get in? It's not that we were aggressively trying out for the team. It wasn't us saying to God, God, how can I be a part of what you're doing? It was God calling out to you while you were doing your thing, saying, hey, I have something better for you. I want to invite you into what I'm doing in human history. You have been invited. It's amazing. When God calls, he's calling to invite you to join the team. He's up to something big, and he wants you to play a part in all of it. I want to show you a picture of, I want to see if you know who this guy is. Let's take a look at this. Not the guy hoisted up, that's Tom Landry. Used to be coach of the Dallas Cowboys. This is after they'd won a Super Bowl. I want to know if you know the guy down to the left that's one of the guys holding him up with the big collar. Do you know who that guy is? Here's another picture of this same guy hanging out with Tiger Woods. You know who this guy is? You have any idea who this guy is? Here's another picture. Now this guy is hanging out with Bill Clinton. Who is this guy? Who is this guy that hoists up Tom Landry after winning a Super Bowl, hanging out with Tiger Woods at parties, at presidential functions? This guy's name is Dion Rich. Dion Rich, all of those pictures have something in common. He was not invited into any one of those settings. This man lived his life sneaking into places he did not belong. He has been to presidential functions, ceremonies for dignitaries. He has crashed parties at the Playboy Mansion. And ready? He snuck into 35 Super Bowls. 35. And it wasn't just that he was sneaking in and sitting up in the nosebleed section. In 22 of those Super Bowls, he found his way onto the field or a part of trophy celebrations. In that picture, you saw him hoisting up the head coach of a Super Bowl winning football team. In one of those years, he had the audacity not only to sneak into the Super Bowl, but also crashed the after party and danced with Tom Landry's daughter. The NFL, after about 12, of him sneaking into 12, started getting really annoyed with him, right? You imagine a security got better and better. They hired security forces and private investigators, and this guy still spent his entire life sneaking into places he does not belong. He was never invited. He wasn't invited to those presidential functions. He wasn't invited to the Super Bowl. He wasn't invited to that party with Tiger Woods. He's the ultimate party crasher. You might be looking around as you sit in church today, and you look at all these other people, and they look nice, and they smell nice, because we know to, you know, fix ourselves up for church. And you might be wondering, am I like all these other people? And I want to tell you, you're not a party crasher. You belong because you've been invited. No other reason. You belong because you've been invited. No other reason. You don't earn the invitation, try out for the invitation, work for the invitation. While we were all off living our lives separate from the things of God, God extended an invitation to us because of his great love. We all have that in common, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Listen, being invited means that you have been accepted. God has invited you in. You have been accepted by the one whom you were probably so nervous, like how could I ever be good enough to be accepted by the Holy One, by the one that made me, by the one that I know at times in my life I just ignored or stiff-armed, at times I shook my fist at times by his grace and kindness he threw up a stop sign like, don't go this way, it's going to cause pain, it's going to cause hurt, and I blew the stop sign anyway. That God has invited you and has accepted you. And this is where my whole trying out for the soccer team analogy breaks down, because here's the reality. You don't have to try out. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to prove you're good enough. His acceptance of you is pure love, pure kindness. It's his grace. And it says, by faith you've been saved through grace, right? So it's grace has come your way. And faith is kind of like when the coach called me that night, faith is like picking up the phone. Like God is calling, God is inviting. And faith is simply picking up the phone. Like I could have sat in my house that night and just let the phone ring. And just let the phone ring. And let the phone ring. And never picked it up. And if I never picked it up, I never would have received the invitation. Some of you, listen, the phone has been ringing. You've heard enough about the goodness of God. You've heard enough about his grace and his kindness and what Jesus did on the cross, and you've been around all of this or church or other believers who are talking to you about Jesus, and the phone has been ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing. And can I tell you this weekend, pick up the phone. The greatest invitation of your life is waiting if you will just pick up the phone. You have been invited and you have been accepted. And then the last part of that verse says, it's by grace that you have been saved. And you say, well, saved from what? Like, I know Christians talk about that word a lot. Like, are you saved? Saved from what? Being separated from God and everything that God is doing throughout human history. Saved from being separated from God and all of the consequences that come with that. There are, we know this because we've all struggled and we've all suffered from godless choices, from doing things our own way, and then here comes the whole garbage truck of consequences, right? Where God is saying, I have something better for you. I came to bring you life and life abundantly. And so there are consequences. Separation from God in this life right now has real consequences. It has real consequences. If it is true that you can be in the presence of God and reap all of the benefits of being in the presence of God and having a relationship with God, then the flip side has to be true. If you can be in the presence of God, you can also be separated from God and live a life void of all of the benefits that God wants to bring. That's true both now, and it's also true for all eternity. We don't much like to think about this in American culture, right? But if it is true that God is up to something big, and that something big is working itself out through human history and will continue to go on for all eternity, and there is such thing as being with God or being separated from God, that means the realities of eternity are equally true, and we should all consider them soberly. There really is heaven. There really is eternal presence with God, being involved with what God is doing. If that is true, the alternate is also true. There is the reality of eternity separate from God. We call these things heaven and hell. And we have to, when we say, well, saved from what? We talk about it in a flippant way. Saved from being separated from God and all of the consequences. So we have been invited and we have been accepted, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that none of us can boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You have been invited, you have been accepted, and this is, listen, this is all building. This is the crescendo. You have been equipped. You know the crazy thing when you try out for a team and you make the team, you know what the coach expects of you? This is nuts. He expects you to play. I was expected to train and to get on the field. Listen, God did not rescue you from being separated from him. He did not invite you in and accept you and equip you so that you could spend the rest of your life consuming church services. You with me on this? If you have believed the lie that the extent of Christianity is somehow being good and just getting your rear end in a church service once a week, you have believed a lie. That Ephesians 2 does not say God has saved you by his grace so that you could attend church for the rest of your life. It says that you have been saved by grace, not by works. You don't earn your way in, but we don't work to get in, but we get to work once we are in. You following me on this? It says you don't work to get in, and then the word work appears again because it says we are his workmanship, which is the where we get that word from is where we also get the word poem. You are God's masterpiece. You are God's workmanship. You are God's poem. And you might say, well, I've read the first few verses of this poem, and it's not too pretty. Might I suggest that he's not done writing the poem yet? That you are his workmanship, that you are his piece of art, and he's not done yet. You are his workmanship. He knows exactly how he created you. He gave you the exact personality that he wanted you to have. And then by his Spirit, he has given you certain gifts, certain abilities that he wants you to use on the team, because he is accomplishing his purposes throughout human history, and he made you uniquely you. And he has gifted you by his Spirit. And he put you on the earth at this point in human history for a very specific reason. You are not a mistake by any stretch of the imagination. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to attend church services. No. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to get on the field and play the game. To do good works that he prepared beforehand for you. In other words, think about this for a second. This is a game changer if you really believe it. That if God is working all of these things out throughout human history, and you are his workmanship, and you are uniquely made and gifted, and he knows exactly what he's doing right now in human history, and he knows you perfectly, and he's trying to put the two together, what kind of purpose does that give your life? That ups the game significantly. God has invited you and accepted you and equipped you so that you could walk in the good works that he has prepared in advance for you to walk in. There's something for you to do. There's something for you to do. Listen, what we do in this room is very important. God deserves the best worship we could bring anytime we bring it, right? And it is very important that at least once a week, right, we pause our busy lives, we gather in a place like this, and we worship the God who made us. And it's important that we gather with other believers and submit ourselves to the authority of his word. What we do in this room is very, very important, and I don't want to reduce the importance of it, but I also want to say that God did not create you and rescue you and gift you and equip you so that you could just sit in a pew. He's up to something, and he's invited you to be a part of what he's doing in human history. And so, yes, well, what do I do with this? All right, well, there's two things. One is you receive it, and the other is you believe it. So let me talk about receiving it first. You know, when someone gives you a gift, the only appropriate thing to do is to receive it with gratitude, right? Like, if someone gave you a really nice gift and you said, okay, well, thank you for presenting that to me. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll wash your car every day for the next 10 weeks. They'd be like, what are you talking about? This is a gift. And it's a little bit offensive if you even insinuate that somehow you have to work for it or earn it. And so when we're talking about all of God's love and his kindness and his invitation and his acceptance, the first thing we do is just receive it. And so I just want to do that fresh today. Whether you've been walking with Jesus for decades or you're new to this Christianity stuff, we just want to receive the love of God today fresh. And so I'm just going to ask you in the quietness of where you're seated to bow your head and close your eyes. And I want to lead us in a prayer. And you just on the inside, follow along with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you're the Son of God and the only way to the Father. You died on the cross for my sins and you rose again from the dead. I repent of all my sins and I forgive every other person as I would have God forgive me. I forgive all those who have rejected me, hurt me, and failed to show me love. And Lord, I trust you to forgive me. I believe, Lord, that you do accept me. Right now, because of what you did for me on the cross, I am accepted. I'm highly favored. I'm the object of your special care. You really love me. I'm a member of the family of God, the best family in the universe, and heaven is my home. I'm accepted. Lord, I accept myself the way you made me. I'm your workmanship, and I thank you for what you have done. I believe you've begun a good work in me and will carry it on to completion until my life ends. And now, Lord, I proclaim release from any dark, evil spirit that has taken advantage of the wounds in my life. My spirit rejoices in you, Lord. Amen. And I think it's so good to just receive that fresh today. And in a room this size with as many people as are sitting in here, I'd also have to imagine that there are some of you that as I was praying that and you were praying along on the inside, you maybe even found yourself surprised that there was, for the first time, like this yes going on the inside, like, yeah, I'm with you on that. Maybe you were surprised by it. Maybe you've never had that yes on the inside, or maybe you've never noticed it before, but today you're like, oh man, like, I think like I really was tracking along with that. If this is all new to you, I want to encourage you to do something before you leave the building today. At every info area, we have these New Testaments called How to Find God. There's lots of helpful things in here, and there's an insert with some helpful next steps for you, and I would ask you to particularly pay attention to information here about baptism. But this, I think, if you're for the first time sensing like a yes on the inside of you towards the things of God, then pick one of these up. So we receive it, and the second thing we do is we believe it. And you say, well, isn't that backwards? Like, don't you believe something and then receive it? You believe it and then you receive it. And I'd say, no. No, I think you receive it, and then belief in the Bible is always active. It's not passive. Receiving is passive, right? Like, it comes to you. You just put your hands out, and here, like, God is the one that's inviting and accepting and equipping, right? So he's doing that, and you're kind of in the passive posture. But then believing is the active posture where you lean in, and you say, I believe this. I'm on the team, so now I'm going to roll up my sleeves, and I'm going to get to work. Work that God has prepared for you. This is not flippant stuff. This isn't just busy work, tasks, meaningless things. If you engage with what God is up to, it's the greatest thing you could invest in with your life. There's nothing greater to invest in with your time and your talent and your money than investing in the things of God. Why? Because at the end of the day, it's the only thing that's going to stand. You can spend your entire life building a career and have the nicest house and the nicest cars, and no one's going to care a bit when you're gone. Our time, our talent, and our money, we invest it in the things of God because this is the God that deserves all of it, because he's the inviter, he's the one that's accepted us, and it's ultimately his purposes that are going to stand the test of time. And so what Ephesians 2 says is we walk in these good works that God has prepared for us. So how do you do that? It's one simple word. Serve. Serve. And I wish I had a more intellectually stimulating way to say this, because it's so simple. If God has invited you to join the team, what do? You play the game. Are you perfect at the game? No. That's why we train and we practice, right? But you've got to get into the game, and so we serve. And here at the church, we talk about it in a simple way. And if you go on the website, you'll see this too. Like, if you went to the search window and you just typed in serve, or you just do the website /serve, you'll see here, near, and far. And when we talk about serving here, what we're talking about is serving in the context of the life of the church. This is where the skeptics among us might say, well, here goes a pastor. He's just going to do a large commercial to try to convince me to jump in because they have stuff that they need to get done. And I would say, listen, that is not my motivation at all. It's not just we have some tasks that need to get done. Here's what I believe to be true based on the authority of God's word. If you have received the invitation of God and the acceptance of God, but all you're doing is sitting in church services on the weekend, here's my guess. And you can email me and tell me if I'm wrong. If you're just sitting in church doing nothing, you're frustrated, you're wondering where all the power is behind this Christianity thing, you have almost no relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit, you don't even understand why you would need to be empowered to do anything beyond your own natural abilities, and you're becoming increasingly frustrated and critical, You know why? Because if you're just, because Christianity isn't a spectator sport. When you're a spectator, you just kind of watch something and you judge it. But when you're in the game, all of the criticism and all of the complaining and all the judgmentalism goes away, because now you're in it saying, let's get this, let's fix it, let's make it better. Man, and so what I would say is the number one way to grow as a follower of Jesus Christ is to get involved in some form of serving, because it completely changes the game for you. And so I'm going to ask you right now, pull out your program. I want to show you something that's super obvious, but nonetheless, pull out your program and look at the, open it up and look at the right-hand panel. Every week, one-third of the entire program, that entire right panel, lists for you serving opportunities in the church. That's obviously not all of the opportunities. If you go to the website and you go to the serve page, you're going to see hundreds of different roles in dozens of on different teams. Why do we take one-third of the real estate every week to put those serving opportunities in front of you? Because based on the authority of God's word, we know that if you're going to continue to grow and really understand why God made you the way he made you and how you can fit into his plans throughout human history, you've got to get involved in serving in some capacity. And so, you know, there's one in there about, I'll give you one example. I believe there's one in there about being a home host for our high school house group system. Our high schoolers meet in houses all over the city midweek. And every house has 20 to 50 students in it. So if you're right now, you're going, wow, you need a big house to host that. Yup, you sure do. And listen, some of you have been very successful in your careers. Good on you. And you have wonderfully large houses. And you could open your home to a bunch of high school students and let them come to your house. You don't have to be a small group leader. There's other leaders that will come and lead those groups and lead the program. But you could invest your home in God's purposes with the next generation. You say, because I think sometimes serving, we trip all over it. It could be as simple as, I got an awesome big home, and I want to use it for God's purposes. It could be that simple, right? And so I just use that as one example. As that house group system continues to grow, they're constantly looking for houses in different areas in the city. So they're serving here. And then we talk about serving near, which is in the community. So you know we have the Healing Center. We offer 56 services. So you can imagine how many varied roles there are just in the context of the Healing Center to serve our community. Everything from if you are in the medical field, or you're a tax accountant, or you are bilingual, or you have the gift of hospitality, or I can't even list all of the different things that you could utilize, things that God has put inside of you. You could utilize them in serving our community at the Healing Center. In addition to the Healing Center, we have an outreach department where we deploy people in the church to go out into the community, meeting practical needs to demonstrate God's love. And so one of the easiest ways we do this, it's not the only way we do it, but one of the easiest ways, we call it Serve Saturday. It's a super easy on-ramp. If you've never served in any capacity in the church or out in the community, you just show up for a Serve Saturday, and they've planned everything out for you, and it'd be 3 hours on a Saturday morning. You get all of your instructions and everything you need, then you go out with teams, and you're done by noon on a Serve Saturday. It's super easy. Now, you already heard about the one coming up on August 11th, right, where we are going into schools all over the city to help teachers set up their classrooms. And so this is a great one. If you've never, if like you're like stepping into serving, I would say Serve Saturday is a great way to do that. Now, for this next one, because it's a bit bigger, we would ask you to register. Normally, you don't have to register. You just show up. For this one, it's helpful if you register, because we're going here, there, and everywhere. But also, right now, if you're a teacher or an administrator, I want you to pull out your phones, because there's an opportunity for you right now that you didn't know was coming. If you're like, are you kidding me? Like, the church will send a team of people to help me set up my classroom. Like, this is my, like, least favorite task of the entire school year. Yes, you can have a team come to your school. Just text teacher to 97000, and what will happen is you will get a link. It will ask you for a few more details, and then a member of our outreach team will contact you on Monday, and you can be the hero in your school by getting some teams to come and help teachers set up their classrooms. And then finally is this. We talk about FAR, global, international. Some of you, God has put that in you. right? Like if I talk about, for some of you, if I say working with kids or teenagers, like there's something inside of you that's like, I could see myself doing that, right? Because you're wired a certain way. There's some of you that are behind the scenes people. You don't ever want the lights on you. You just want to be behind the scenes administrating things, organizing things. My wife is like that. If you give my wife a stack of papers and say, turn this into a spreadsheet, it's like you gave her a gift. If you gave me that same stack of papers, I'd want to stick a fork in my eye. Like, we're all different, gifted differently, right? Some of you have this heart for what God is doing globally. And so we have our partnership with Back to Back, and we're the orphanage in Mazatlan. That's not the only place where we're involved. And so what I want to do to conclude our time today is we're going to pray for a team that we have right now in India. There's a group of folks from our church with another orphanage in India. And as we pray to wrap up our time together, we're gonna pray for them. But I just wanna point this out before we pray. Getting involved takes a little bit of work. I'm gonna be honest with you. We do our very best as pastors in the church to try to simplify things in a large and somewhat complicated church. We do our best to make the website as helpful as possible, and we try to be, okay, and we're continuing to try to get better and better at that, but it's gonna take some work on your part. You're gonna have to peruse the website, you're gonna have to talk to some church staff members, you're gonna have to explore, you're gonna have to do some trial and error. Oh boy. How many of you have ever served in a role where you realize this is not for me? Yep. And you know what? That's okay. Right? If someone lovingly comes alongside of you and says, brother, you're gifted over there. Take that as a loving hint, right? It's going to take trial and error. It's going to take a little bit of effort on your part, okay? So I just want to say that on the front end. But let's stand, and we're going to pray for this team in India. You've been invited. You've been accepted. And you've been equipped. And the greatest way you could spend your life is rolling up your sleeves and getting to work, participating in the plans and the purposes of God. So right now, God, together, we just join our hearts and our minds, and we pray for that group of us right now that's in India. And they're there working with those kids and helping out at the orphanage. And we just want to, we pray for their health and their protection and their safety and all of that. But more importantly, God, we simply want to pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done with their time there and their conversations and their prayers and their work. God, you know every one of those kids at that orphanage. You know every one of the staff members and the leaders. And you know what you're doing, and we simply want to cooperate with that. So we pray that our team's presence there would bear a lot of fruit to that end. Thank you, God, for inviting us and accepting us and equipping us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Prayer and communion available here in the room as always.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.